Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. I don't want to be a blender expert.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head.
And Rebecca.
Made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, how we make decisions based on reference points.
Everything we do is done with respect to some kind of reference point. And this is important because a lot of times those reference points are given to us by someone else, and that ends up influencing our motivation to act on them. And a lot of times we need to ask ourselves, wait a second, where did that reference point come from?
Yeah.
And is this really the way that I want to think about this decision that I'm about to make? So then the question is, where do some of these kinds of reference points come from? And sometimes they're just, we have expectations about where they come from. So we walk into a store and we expect the store to tell us something about how much something should cost. In fact, most of us are not experts on most of the kinds of decisions that we make because that would take way too long. Who wants to have to subscribe to Consumer Reports and pour through those articles week by week
the
off chance that you might have to buy a blender, right? And so how can I survive in the world in which I might actually someday have to buy a blender without being a blender expert? And the way I do this is by using the world to help me set my reference points. So I walk into the store and there's 39 blenders, but they range in price from $19.99 to $399. And now I have a reference point. I know $399 has got to be some super amazing blender. And $19.99, you know, that's probably not a super amazing blender. And that already begins to help me. So if I end up spending $49.99 on a blender, you know, I could have spent $400. So I'm feeling pretty good about this purchase because the world has set my reference points for me. And I am trusting that the world is giving me information that makes up for my lack of expertise.
It's setting comparison points. And of course, because other people, as Art said, are doing the setting, well, they can shift our thinking anywhere they'd like it to go. Because if I think that the $60 bottle wine is the most expensive bottle on the wine list, it's much likely that I'm going to buy that bottle than a bottle that's a little bit less than that. So if I have one that is $1,200, that $60 bottle is looking pretty good.
And one of the reasons that this happens is because one of the most pervasive elements of our ability to make judgments about numbers, and this goes back to Kahneman and Tversky, is this idea of anchoring and adjustment. And the idea is that there's a number out there in the world that number ends up serving as our anchor for things, and then we adjust up or down, depending on how accurate we think that number is. But the very common finding is we never adjust enough.
Yeah.
We usually adjust too little. And so you get this $1,250 bottle of wine on the menu, and now you're thinking, well, all right, so what should a bottle of wine cost me? Well, clearly $1,250 is too high, but, you know, maybe $100 is reasonable. And so you end up adjusting, but maybe not enough, when under other circumstances you might have thought, well, maybe $40 is actually a reasonable amount for a bottle of wine.
And what's sort of intriguing about the whole anchoring effect is that the numbers don't even have to be reasonably associated with the decision that we're making, right?
I mean,
we can actually call up numbers in someone's thinking that don't have anything to do with the decision they're about to make. The numbers are about, and now that number influences what they think about the numbers they're presented with.
My favorite example of this, right? So they did an experiment that was going to involve making estimates of things. And at the very beginning of the study, they had people write down their subject number on the top of the page. And some people, and there were two-digit subject numbers, but for some people, the number was like 16. And for some people, it was 96. And then they had people make an estimate about something after that. And the people who got the subject number 96, which was completely unrelated to everything the experiment was about, made higher estimates than the people who got 16, right? So that number got pulled completely out of the air, and it ended up influencing judgment.
And I think, you know, there's a theme in many of the shows that we've done recently.
Really?
And even not so recently. Yes, yes.
The Brain,
yes.
Perhaps?
Yeah. One of these, this sort of comes up often as a sort of a thematic thing on this show, is how much all of our thinking and decision-making is influenced by things that we are completely unaware of. And not only are we unaware of them, some of them don't even make any sense. And we, as human beings, I think, don't like owning up to that, because we like to think that everything that we're thinking about and the decisions we're making are based on reason and logic and all the things that people hold up as why people make good decisions.
And the problem with reason and logic is that you need to know too much in order for them to work. Again, yeah. if you want to come to a logical decision about the blender that you're buying, mm-hmm. then you got to know a lot about blenders. And frankly, if you just walk in and buy a blender using the information in the store, you might pay slightly too much. But once you factor in the cost of the time and effort it took to become a blender expert, that was a cheap blender. So, you know, we have to use the world to help us to get around. And so actually these strategies, while they may get in the way of our beliefs and our rational self, actually, they're much better than what our rational self would be if we allowed that to run free.
Exactly right. And one of the reasons for that, what's called the tyranny of correctness. I don't want just a blender. I want the best blender for the best price. And there's only one of those. Now, if that's the way you're going into this, you're going to spend a lot of time and effort trying to figure something out. The cost to that in happiness is big, because once you decide there is a best option, and the only option will be the best option that will make you happy, and everything else is going to be, you know, dissatisfying, you're in trouble in terms of just your life experience.
Next week, we'll talk about how to exit conversations with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter at the number 2, G-O-Y-H. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.